Are you gonna pick up that call?
No, it's Steven.
Okay.
No, you don't understand. He asks me the same question every day, and every day I explain the same thing to him. But then the next day he'll ask me the same exact question all over again.
Where's that coming from? Is that your computer? My computer?
I just, honestly, I've no more F's to give. My F's hath runneth dry. I tried to go F shopping, but there's no more F's to buy. Let's open a cafe, a cozy little spot. We'll pack the place with board games, and the coffee's always hot.
Yeah, that actually sounds like a great plan.
Right?
It's gonna be so relaxing.
Yeah!
We can get some, like, quality baked goods and pastries in there.
Yeah!
What could possibly go wrong?
Yeah. Nothing! Nothing! And you know what we should do?
What?
We should interview Randy.
Randy who?
You know, Randy Wong, the guy who owns Hexagon Cafe. That board game cafe?
Ooh, that's a great idea.
Right? I'm full of those.
Hi, I'm Jaina.
And I'm Sharon.
And together, we're Jess's Vegancy.
Moving you from Antsy to Gancy.
And today, we have Randy from the Hexagon Board Game Cafe in Calgary and Edmonton.
Hi, Randy.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Pretty good. Tell us a little bit about what the Hexagon Cafe is. What is it?
It's a board game cafe.
Oh, of course.
Who would have thought?
Sure, I thought it was just like a cafe
with lots of hexagons in it.
All the hexagons. It's like the bestagon.
Bestagon cafe.
Hexagon is the bestagon.
Tell us more about the Hexagon Cafe. Where are you guys? And what do
so,
you guys do?
We're located in Edmonton on 82nd Ave, but we also have a store in Calgary as well.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I think I've been to that one, or at least we've walked past it.
Yeah.
It's bustling in Kensington.
Right? It is, yeah.
Yeah. Why don't you go in?
Because we were short trip and I don't know. We're asking the question today. You're not the one that's asking questions. I've heard it has great coffee though.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, today we snagged Randy after, Jaina was being oddly extroverted one day.
It's true.
You guys, cause she just strolled into your cafe and just started talking to you and wouldn't let you go, right? That's my understanding.
I think I have an effect on people. I'm like really bad at like being a chatterbox when, you know, I should be working.
See, it's not my fault.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Right. So she was getting Jaina was getting her car fixed. I was supposed to pick her up. And then I found herself across the street from her dealership at the Hexagon Cafe. Not surprising. I thought she would just pop out, but she was like, oh, I'm having an excellent come on in. And I was like, excellent what? Like a conversation.
Oh, yeah. I forgot to put conversation.
So I went in and lo and behold, Randy and Jaina, they were just talking up a storm with each other. And so we now get a treat and we get to interview Randy about his experience of, I guess, owning Jaina. And, you know, owning the Bestagon Cafe, apparently.
Yeah.
But like we do with all our guests, we ask three very important questions so that our listeners get to know who you are. Mm-hmm. And the first question is...
All right, Randy. If you were trapped in the last game that you played, how screwed would you be?
I think I'd be okay, but maybe. Last game I played was Cascadia.
Okay.
So I don't know if that was the last game I played, but that was like the last game I taught that I remember.
That like stands out. Fair
yeah,
enough.
It's the one that stands out.
I mean, Cascade, it could be nice. You're in the wilderness, in the wild.
Hiking. A lot of bears, though.
Yeah,
yeah, so, depending on whether you're in the bear ring.
So
I
here's
guess.
The thing.
Yes.
Like I was watching, I just got into Alone. It's like that survivalist reality TV show.
Oh, yes. Okay.
And like, I'm not necessarily like the outdoors person, but I don't know. If there's animals around, like that game, I might be okay.
Okay. It seems like a nice relaxing hike. Camping.
It could
just
be.
Get away from everything.
It could be. As long as there's no mauling.
Don't get stuck in the swamp.
Don't get stuck in the swamp. Then you're fine. You might, you know, run into, oh, you guys don't like seafood. But I was like, you might run into all the salmon. You get some free sashimi out of it. But
maybe. So that's,
cool.
Yeah.
I forgot what question number two is.
All right. So question number two, if you had to choose a game to play with your nemesis to absolutely crush their ego and all their hopes and dreams, what game would it be?
Okay. So I got two answers for this.
Excellent.
One of them.
Yeah. Randy does seem like the type that has a lot of nemeses and has lots of experience crushing them. Sorry.
Continue. Games.
Okay. So this was like a past staff member, and they're really good at games.
Oh, okay.
But they're also really arrogant.
Oh, okay. Yes. All right, this is a good story.
Yep. And the thing is, like, this person has really high ability, reading ability, so he's able to read the game rules while continuously, like, thinking of strategies as you're playing. Where, like, most people, you know, they have to get, like, the feel of it, then they kind of, like, understand the inner mechanics, but this person can kind of read and do that as he's teaching and like,
Wow. That's impressive.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. It's like a super high reading ability. And, I don't know, something might happen where I'm like, you know what? I got to take this guy down a peg. So this was when Splendor came out. If I really like a game, I'll like kind of think about the mechanics, like weigh the values and see like, if there's any, you know, advantages you can get.
Yeah.
Right? So you guys have played Splendor, right?
Yeah.
So good game. Already I know, like, the probabilities of, like, what are the 5-point cards, 4-point cards? What are, like...
deep dive knowledge.
Yeah.
Like the stats. Okay.
Right? So if I see the board and, like, okay, those are all crappy cards I don't want to buy, is it worth, like, reserving off the top?
Yeah.
Then I'm, like, calculating and thinking of the odds.
That's impressive.
But then also, like, Splendor is all about the technique of collecting gems, right? So, some people just kind of play, like, what is the best move for me? But other players should, you know, look at other people's boards. Like, what are they trying to do? What can I do to stop them? Mm. So, we played, like, four or five games, and it was a complete shutout. But I beat them 5 different ways.
Oh, brutal!
I'm really bad at that game, so I'm gonna have to. You're gonna have to school me. So I need some practice. I need some practice.
No, yeah. I'm not. I haven't played that game too much. I enjoy it.
What?
Okay, so Splendor's your answer, but
Splendor's.
You said there's two stories.
Yeah, so the other one is Settlers of Catan. So that's the game that kind of brought me into board gaming. And the reason why I'm ultra competitive in that one's because I really want to compete in the world championship one day. Like, it's on my bucket list before I die.
So you want to crush literally everyone else in the world.
Yeah, doesn't even matter if there's like any money involved. I don't even care if there's money involved.
Yeah, you just want to crush everyone.
I just want that bragging right of I went, I conquered.
Yep, that's solid.
Which makes a lot of sense why you named your cafe the Hexagon Cafe to a degree.
Yep.
Yeah.
See, she got it.
Yeah.
Finally. It took me a really long time, but I eventually got it.
Oh, you shared the story? Or
I didn't, but she just clicked on her own.
But that's what we wanted to happen
when we... first start conceptualizing the cafe, right?
Yeah.
So I guess that we'll get into the origin story a little bit.
Let's jump. Let's do it.
Yeah.
So, again, Catan was the game that got me into board games, because before then, it was just Monopoly, like in junior high. I've been playing Catan since like 95.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, really? Like when it kind of like came out fairly recently.
Nice.
And, you know, graduated school in 2008, and that was the beginning of the downturn. So I graduated in architecture, couldn't find a job.
And I
probably sent out like 200 resumes, and there's not even a phone call.
Yeah, 2008 was bad.
It was so brutal.
And
And I think, actually, no, I did get one interview.
Okay.
And they were prepared to offer me the job. I thought, oh, I'm going to play it cool. I'm like, okay, give me like one day to like evaluate and consider. But in my head, I'm like, yes, finally.
Yeah.
And then I call them up the next day and they're like, actually, we're going to have to resend the offer. Yeah, exactly.
What?
And I'm like, damn it. I was trying to play it cool.
It was meant to, but I feel like this was all leading to all of that.
It was meant to be. Maybe. That's a fate.
I had student debt, not like compared to like some people, but I had some. And yeah. You know, when you know you owe thousands of dollars and you're making like nothing,
yeah,
and you're living at home, you kind of get nervous. So I ended up applying to teach English in Korea.
Okay.
I'm like, okay, I'm gonna do this. Hopefully, by the time I finish this contract, you know, the job market's better.
Uh-huh.
You know, start my life on the right foot again.
Yeah.
And so while I was over in Korea, I met like all these other English teachers from like all over the world, like the UK, Australia, South Africa.
Wow.
And it was actually like board games that kind of brought us together. Oh, and it was actually Settlers of Catan.
That's amazing.
So somewhere along the way, I was like, you know, this would be cool if this was like a concept that, you know, people could come together, play games. Because before then, it was just me and my friends playing at another friend's house.
Yeah.
You know, it's someone's house.
Yeah.
Right? And sometimes it's really weird because I remember one night, my friend's mom just fried up chicken for us. Just being a mom, like, would you like some fried chicken?
The answer is always yes.
Yes. Yeah.
But I'm like, oh, there has to be like a cool environment where like people could kind of interact. And, you know, be together without their mom's friend frying chicken for them.
But that's the best part.
Yeah. So, there's like kind of two origin stories. I'm not 100% sure when I thought of it. It might have been when I was in Korea interacting. Mm-hmm. It might have been at my friend's place. Because at that time, there was four of us that all graduated at the same year.
Oh, nice.
And we were all unemployed for a year.
Yeah. Brutal.
Yep.
So
I feel that.
You feel that? Yeah. So, yeah. And this was, I thought of this idea way before Snakes and Lattes in Toronto.
Oh, cool.
So it's kind of cool, but, you know, you just finished university. You have no money.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And I think Snakes and Lattes, from my understanding, being the first board game cafe, at least, that opened, at least, in North America.
Yeah, I mean,
I
grew up in Hong Kong, and they were never formally board game cafes, but there were lots of these upstairs cafes that don't have sort of the main floor traffic. But the way that they did it is that you go upstairs, there's little foosball tables and some board games, a smattering of board games, and most of it were party games. But that was the extent of any sort of semblance of board game cafe. Until Snakes and Lattes came out.
And they opened in
that format.
Just to give timeline, they opened in 2011,
is that right?
Ish.
Not 100%.
Because I know we were there. We were in university in Toronto when they opened.
Yeah.
But anyway, sorry. I just wanted to make sure people knew the context.
Timeline.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Sometime in the 2010s.
Yes. Yeah.
The good old days.
So, yeah. Eventually, I come back home from Korea, paid off my debts. Try the job market again.
Mm.
Still like half a year of like nothing.
Oh man.
I finally found a job in architecture. And after 3 days, I wanted to like quit. Like, even
really?
Though it took me forever to find
what?
This job.
Okay, what was it about? Was it about that particular job or just the career?
It's tough to say. Architecture isn't like an easy kind of job.
Yeah.
It's a lot of work and you don't quite have the same compensation as if you were like a doctor or lawyer.
Mm.
Oh, okay. Right? Okay.
It's just not there. And
yeah,
like you're giving so much of yourself.
Mm-hmm. Fair.
Right.
Fair.
And my boss was, he was old school.
Mm-hmm.
Like I remember there were some really funny moments where I'm like, I don't think this, like if someone else walked in here, there'd be like so many complaints and whatever. Like I remember, this new guy came in and the boss was like, okay, I need you to do like a front elevation, come up with something.
Mm-hmm.
guy does it. And then the boss is like, what the hell? Are you on drugs?
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Okay, yeah. Like not a pleasant work environment.
So,
okay, fair.
Yeah. But because I had the cafe always in mind, right? Like, it's always a wonder, like, is this just an idea? Would you ever execute? Like, a lot of people have good ideas, but they never execute.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, I'm like, okay, I'm going to stick with this job that I've hated since day three. And I'm going to save every penny I have. And maybe I'll try this cafe thing.
Okay.
Yeah. That's cool. So that's kind of like how it kind of happened.
And how long did it take you from the third day realizing how much you dislike the job to, all right.
Stuck around for 3 years.
Oh, wow.
Hated every single day. Oh, it was like, it was so bad. Gosh. Like, I would intentionally not go to sleep because I knew that when I go to sleep, I'll wake up and like, I will have an awful day.
Oh my gosh.
Like, the only way to prolong that feeling of getting up and going to work was staying up a little bit later.
Oh.
And then there'd be like times where I wake up and I just swear like,
oh my gosh. Okay. So these 3 years were just all dedicated to your dream of opening this wonderful concept
saving
of a cafe.
Every penny. Me and my wife, yeah.
Oh.
Which wasn't my wife at the time. We were engaged.
Yeah.
But because we always had this dream, we always put off like getting married because we didn't want to spend money on like getting married or whatever. We just want to put it towards the dream.
Yeah.
Oh gosh. That's the struggle.
So it's interesting when people are like, oh, I'm going to start a business. It's really easy. I'm like, you don't know what it takes until, like, it happens, right?
Yeah, because we do it all the time. We're like, wouldn't it be nice and relaxing to open up a cafe? Yeah. We'll throw board games in there because it'll be so great.
Yeah. The money will flow in.
Yeah, I'll figure it out.
No worries. But I like to compare it to, like, and definitely at that time, too, right?
Yeah.
Like, the concept wasn't really, it was in Toronto, but it wasn't in other places.
Yeah.
It was still pretty new.
And Edmonton's a very new city compared to Toronto, too.
Yeah. Toronto is a beast of a city, right?
Yeah.
Like, if you make it in Toronto, like, you're killing it, right?
Yeah, right.
Not quite the same in, like, other cities. I always get emails from people like, I want to open one in Grand Prairie or Kamloops. I'm like, I don't think it's going to work out.
Grand Prairie has one already, and I don't think Grand Prairie can hold two of them.
I think there's another one, Wonderland maybe, but that's sort of kind of not really. Anyways,
we're getting off topic.
Yeah, we are off topic. Yeah. Okay. So how did it feel the day that you decided to commit to this idea, you quit your job? Or was it sort of a gradual process?
It was a gradual process.
Okay.
My fiance at the time, just had it with her job too.
Oh,
kind of like the same kind of thing. But she ended up finding like a pretty awesome job in Edmonton. So I think she moved to Edmonton like 3 or 4 months before I did.
Oh, okay.
So I had to kind of finish up.
Yeah.
And then, it was always like something that kind of like, I don't know. I feel like there's like some gaps in our employment, but during the gaps, my wife finally made a business plan.
Wow. Okay. Yeah.
And I kind of did it. So business plan's not required, but it's really good to have one.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So both of you guys decided to take the plunge together then.
Mm-hmm. But it's interesting. So we describe our relationship as, like, she's the builder.
Mm.
If she, like, does something, she'll get it done.
Okay.
But I'm the dreamer. I think of the ideas. But
if
I don't have the builder, it never gets done.
That's an excellent, that's like just the perfect match.
Yeah.
So she ends up just doing the business plan. And I'm like, oh, man, this is happening.
Right? Was that when it felt real?
Kind of, right? Because you're spending all your time, like, working on this little paper, and then all of a sudden she's looking at like places to rent out.
Wow.
I'm like, oh my god,
her.
this is happening.
Oh, that's so exciting.
So that's kind of how that started, and we put a little bit of our architectural flair into it. Because at that time, Snakes and Lattes was the only one that was really established. So there's all these other board game cafes popping up in, you know, all over Canada. And they were, like, really punny. Like, Monopolatte. Or, I don't know. They're just all terrible names. And, you know, me and my wife, we were in architecture, like, that's so cliche. Like, come on, man. Step it up. So that's why we called ourselves the Hexagons.
Yeah.
And it's a little nod to what got us started.
Oh, yeah.
But it's also like an inside thing, right? Like, if you don't play Catan, you might not get the reference. Yeah. But we didn't want to, like, you know, blast in your face.
And I think that's smart too, because then you know, people that aren't in, you know, that aren't gamers or aren't really familiar with it.
They're not going to be put off.
Yeah. It's like, oh, it's a cafe with
and
a cute name.
And I will say, having visited a fair number of board game cafes ourselves, yours definitely, the aesthetic is, it's there. It's nice.
It looks very nice.
Whether you're a gamer or just, you know, a random person who's looking for coffee and is like, oh, what's this?
Yeah, both locations, like the Edmonton one and also the Kensington one, which I walked past and looked in. I think I bought something from them once. Anyways, they're both designed, I think, pretty intentionally, and it feels cozy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's, because we have that designer background, we're like, okay, let's think about this here. What are we going to do for, like, a logo? So, like, on our computer, we have, like, and because it's designed, there's always a progression. You don't just, bam, there's a logo.
Right.
But you can see, like, the flow chart of how this logo, like, evolved. And it is funny because there's three, like, there was an architect, two architectural designers, me and my wife, and we're like 3 a.m, like, look at this on the desk, like, what do you think? I don't know, let's move it like just a smidge to the right. No, okay, how about we double hexagon? So that's how that happened. And then, like, it's kind of fun, like, you know, you get to design your project and, like, okay, well, what's our colors going to be, right? So our
I feel like that's the fun part.
Hexagon colors is like a certain blue, and then like match this and kind of feel. And then we put in a lot of effort in like our space planning, right? Which I won't bore a lot of people, but there's a lot of thought in how we like lay everything out. And it's not just a bunch of tables everywhere.
How long did this process take you? Like from, say, your wife finishing that business plan and scouting locations until you were actually ready to open?
Okay, so I think the business plan took a few months. I don't remember how much. But then the next part that was difficult was trying to find the right space.
Oh,
that's the tricky part.
Yeah.
So finding the right space took us maybe a year and a half.
Oh, wow.
Oh.
Right? Plus, like...
Wow, okay.
Negotiating and talking and...
Yeah.
And, you know, you're trying to pitch this idea that doesn't really exist anywhere yet. Like, you're like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
Monopoly?
Yes, I could see that.
Yeah, I think a lot of times when I talk to people about board games that don't really play a lot of board games, they immediately think that I'm playing, I don't know, Monopoly or Sorry or Clue.
Yeah.
And that's it. Yeah. But, a year and a half.
Yeah.
That requires so much grit.
So, if you think about the process from, like, conception to actually opening your doors, it's probably like 3 years of saving plus like the years of the business plan and then like finding a place.
So how did it feel the first day those doors were open and it was real?
So, okay, I got two different stories on this. So Edmonton was amazing because we were like full house within like the first weekend. I'm like, like, these are people that are coming to my cafe and they're not my friends and family. Like, they're actual strangers coming to my cafe.
And just to clarify, this was 2014.
2014.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
So that was an amazing feeling. And then just seeing like, wow, we took in this much, in sales there. That's amazing. If I like had those numbers like today, I'd be like, oh my God, we're going to close.
Okay. At the time, it was
amazing. Oh my God, money. We're not going to go bankrupt. But yeah, now I'm like, oh my God, what's happening? So that's the Edmonton story.
Okay.
Calgary was a different kind of monster.
Okay.
So the thing I'd like to tell people is Calgary Hexagon would not exist without Edmonton Hexagon.
Okay.
It's really? It's way harder to start a business in Calgary. The dynamics and the rent is just so much more.
Okay. Right? More expensive rent.
And there. For our listeners from, not Central Alberta, Calgary and Edmonton are about a 3-hour drive apart, both in Alberta.
They're sister cities, but also bitter rivals.
Yes.
Yeah. I would like to state I'm from Calgary, but I live in Edmonton, like both cities.
Same cities.
It's not like I love one child more than the other. They're just different kids.
They're just.
Yes. Yes. That is excellent.
That's a really great answer.
Yes.
So Calgary was a different beast. So, Edmonton's like flowing, we're doing well. When I first started working at the Edmonton Cafe, I was doing about 100 hours a week.
Oh my gosh.
My wife was doing about 120 hours a week because she worked the cafe. Plus she had her other job.
Oh no.
Oh, she was doing another job. Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
100 hours.
So yeah, finally after like 2-3 years ish, I'm like, okay, cool. We get like a little bit of her life back.
Yeah.
She then gets laid off from her job.
Oh,
and then, it's kind of emotional, right?
Yeah.
Like, no one likes being let go.
No. Yep.
But then she goes, well, maybe we could do Calgary now.
Ambitious.
And
from the ashes.
Yeah. And it was strange because I was like, yeah, we're going to do Calgary. We're going to do Calgary. But I'm the dreamer.
Right.
Right.
And then she gets laid off. And now she's the builder.
Yes.
Oh, so
builder's free.
She's the builder's free to, do stuff.
Wow.
So then that's how Calgary started. And then is like triple the budget.
Really?
Yeah. It's just, we had to do a lot more work, way bigger space.
Okay.
And when we open up Calgary, like I think the first week, I'm like, oh my God, what did we do?
Really?
I just took all that like money that we saved up and like earned, and I like doubled down.
Ooh.
And the first week, I'm like, oh my God, what do I do? We could be in trouble.
Just because why? Just no, people weren't showing up. They don't know.
Wasn't as busy right away.
Oh.
Right? We hired like a bunch of staff and then we had to let them go because we just overstaffed.
Right. Yeah.
Right. And yeah, no, it could have been because we also opened up like middle of summer, middle Stampede.
Oh.
Okay.
But
middle of Stampede would be, I don't know, busier, but maybe it's not the right crowd. Tourists and stuff. I don't know.
I think it's also trying to get the word out.
The message gets muddled.
How do you get that out there?
You guys were the first in Calgary. Are you guys the
weren't the first. Oh, we were the third.
Oh.
We tried our best to be the first, but like there's only me and my wife. We're not like, we don't have like corporate backing of you can do this. It's more like, okay, I'll do this. You can do this. I don't know. I'll draw this up. Like, I'll research this. So it was harder for us to kind of get Calgary going. We kind of had like the blueprints, but it was just way more work.
Oh gosh. But it's in such a good location.
Was that your original location in Calgary? Kensington.
It wasn't our original location.
Oh,
okay.
Another side story.
Oh.
The other location was actually in Kensington still.
Okay.
Okay.
And we were negotiating with the landlord and we finally arrived at a price.
Mm.
And we're like, this much per square foot. And then they're like, okay, cool. Send me the papers. Signed. Done.
Uh-huh.
Send it to the landlord. And the landlord's like, no, back to this price.
Oh, come on.
So I'm like, as soon as that happened, I'm like, no more negotiating. I don't trust you anymore.
Yeah, you never know. I mean, if they're already backing out early in the negotiations.
So then we found our current spot.
Oh, okay.
But it's kind of interesting because like in your head, okay, I'm paying this much in Edmonton. I'll pay a little bit more in Calgary. Mm. I'll increase my budget a little bit. And then to find that there's nothing in that budget for Calgary. So then I'm like, okay, well, I'm in the big leagues now. Let's go for it. Cross your fingers.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. That sounds so stressful.
Oh, yeah. Like, financial issues is like the worst, right? Because
yeah,
for a lot of people that don't own businesses, right? Like mm-hmm. people like, mm-hmm. oh, you know, I just gotta cover rent or whatever. You know, I just gotta work a few more hours at a job. But the amount of bills and overhead I had to overcome, yeah. I would have to work like 10 different jobs to cover like overhead. I'm like, that's not possible. I'm not like some oil exec. I don't make like that much in a month. Right. Right. Like, so it could have turned south really bad if it didn't like pick up.
Okay. Oh, and I think we're going to get into how you got through COVID, but I want to ask one question first, because I feel like we are not the only people that are like, oh man, we love board games. We're foodies, Sharon, especially. Like, this seems like the perfect idea.
We like coffee.
How much of your job actually involves the board games? Because I think that's what everyone wants when they open a board game cafe. Yeah, they love board games.
Okay, so I'll say the board game part is like the easy part. You have a bunch of board games at home. Cool. But that's like the easy part.
Right.
Like, you like playing board games? That's easy. The thing you have to worry about is like, well, how do I manage people? Right. How do I like calculate how much I should charge something?
Oh, yeah.
What do I do when like Joe or Sally are sick today and like I'm already dying because I worked like 18 hours already?
Oh.
So that, and then it's funny because every once in a while, I'll get like business students from the university and they'll do an interview on me.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And they'll like ask me all these questions like, so how often like do you have to replace a board game? Or like, I'm like, I don't know. If it needs fixing, just replace it. And I'm like, so you're thinking like too small. Like if you think my only problem is replacing a board game.
Okay.
My bigger issue is, oh my God, the hot water tank, like, is leaking, which actually happened in Calgary.
Oh no.
So, oh my God, while we designed this place in Calgary, we designed it in such a way that you can't get access to the hot water tank because it's brand new, that we were just crossing our fingers like, oh, hopefully we don't have to service this in like for 20 years and we'll deal with it then.
Gosh.
But it's only been 6 years and all of a sudden there's like a pinhole leak and there's water spraying everywhere.
Oh my god.
And so like, oh crap, I gotta replace a hot water tank. And I hope that water isn't leaking into the floor, which will cause the floor to rot, which will affect the restaurant below me.
So it's all the issues of home ownership with the added stress of running a business with two different aspects to it.
And also paying people.
While you're paying rent and people and bills.
So if you're worried about me like replacing a $20 game, that's okay. Cause I gotta fix this dishwasher or the hot water tank or I don't know. Everything else seems to break at the same time. That like I have to deal with thousands of dollars in like broken equipment.
And
that's a stress.
And hopefully, if anyone is thinking that their local board game cafe is too expensive, I hope that this clears it up.
Yeah. This is why they need to charge.
It's not because they're buying games every month.
No.
Okay, so not much about it is actually about the board game. There's actually a very small percentage of it, but I'm assuming that, you know, you've opened a board game cafe because you enjoy board games.
Yeah.
How do you still get to play board games? Because I'm hearing you're working hundreds of hours or 50 hours.
I don't play as many games as I like. It's interesting because, like, you know, before the cafe opens, you know, you see, like, a cool board game.
Yeah.
Awesome art cover. You hear, like, a lot of stuff about it. You're like, oh, I need to play this.
Yes.
Right? And there's, like, it's like Christmas Day, right? But owning the cafe, I kind of don't have that feeling anymore.
Oh, no.
Right? Like, this is a cool game. I'd love to play it. I'll get around to it maybe next month.
Oh, that's so sad.
So it's just like it just consumes your life. And it's just like board gaming might have been like super special back then. Still special, but it's like a different kind of special.
Because I feel like once it becomes your work, it's not, it's not quite the same.
Yeah. Like, for example, there's a convention at Falcon in Calgary. It's called Falcon.
Yeah.
And when we were opening the cafe, we went nuts at the auction table.
Oh, yeah.
And so, like, And this would be the best analogy of then and now. Mm. But, like, well, before the cafe, we'd have four people and we had, like, different, like, bidding techniques on how to get these games.
I love it.
And I'll reveal them now because I'm not bidding on games anymore.
Excellent. Okay, hang on. Let me grab a piece of note paper.
Yeah, okay. Oh, no. We're recording him.
We're good. Okay.
Wonderful.
Okay. We should just edit this out so that it's just us knowing this.
Yes,
we'll do that.
So the way the auction works in Falcon is everyone has like a little foamy stick and you just raise your hand if you're still right. in and then right. they'll like, okay, this game's going for blah 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 this much. Okay, 5, 10, 15. And then if you want out, you just put your cube down and then the last person to have their little rod in the air wins the bid at whatever price.
Okay.
So, me and my friends, we'd sit in the back. So, we had a clear view
of all the bidders. Oh, vantage point.
We had four people. Two people would be on their iPads looking at the board game rating, the views. How much did it go for eBay?
Yeah.
And then they'd be like, okay, go like about this much for bidding. And then
that's awesome.
Doing that. And then the other pair is already like queuing up like for the next game afterwards.
Oh, so kind of, leapfrogging the games.
Love that. Yeah.
Love it.
And then we just brought like a huge stack of cash to buy board games. And that's how we first built our library. don't know if it's the best way to build it, but that's, you know, there's no handbook on how to open a board game cafe. So that's how that happened. And, I don't remember how I got into this story. I'm really bad.
We probably told the scenic tour. Now we're talking about strategy for board games. We're talking about, how much time you actually get to spend on board games.
Okay, that's before and after. Now I remember. Okay. So at those auctions, I was so jazzed, had a game plan, like, yes, I'm going to buy this. I'm like, that has a cool cover. Yeah. I want that game.
Yes.
Right?
Much like us. Yeah.
Yes.
But now as a business owner of a cafe, I'm like, I don't need that game. I'll just buy it from like the distributor and it'll be brand new and it'll cost me about the same. Right? Whereas we got that adrenaline rush. Like, yeah. I got to find that or I got to try that. Where now it's like, wow, it's so accessible. And like, I don't need to bid on this stuff anymore. It's not as exciting. So that's like the little differences, right? So like, I feel like a lot of people may see a lot of things through like rose colored glasses.
Oh, for sure.
Right.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Also, because I have lack of time, if I play a game, it has to be good. I'm done. I can't play like a crappy game for like, you know, a couple hours because I don't have like that many hours in my life to play crappy games. Yes.
Right. So I'm guessing the threshold for you to try new games is now much higher because you need to make sure it's vetted. That will probably be something you enjoy.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, right.
Which is why when you asked me earlier today, like, what are you feeling like? I'm like, I want a game that gives me some kind of experience.
Yes. No, right? That's fair. That's very fair.
So in terms of games, there's like an emotional rating. Like, you know how games have like a weight to it.
Mm.
Like, for me, when I value games, like, what do I get out of this? How much joy am I going to get? Like, there's no board game geek rating on how much happiness you'll get from this game.
Yes.
How much joy does it spark?
Yes.
Right? So it's kind of embarrassing to say, like, yeah, I'll always play Catan no matter what. Like, it's kind of a classic now.
Yeah.
Right? But it's also about the people I'm playing with. Right.
Yeah.
It's like, I want to hang out with these people.
Yeah.
I want to try and rip this person off on a deal.
Yes, absolutely. Right? That's how we play.
Yeah. That's the best part is just ripping people off in games and making others suffer.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
Agreed.
So it's hard enough to open and sustain a business like a board game cafe. I can't imagine what it was like during COVID.
Yeah. It was nuts. It was awful.
Because I'm like,
especially a business that relies, right? their business model is people coming together.
How did you survive?
So again, like, there was no playbook in this is what you do, right? As a business, you're like, okay, I should prepare for 3 months. If I have three terrible months, do I have enough to like get me through those months?
Yeah.
Right? And like, if you're super pessimistic, six awful months, right?
Yeah.
No
yeah.
one expected 2 years.
Which, yeah, pre-COVID, 6 months seemed like
and
a pretty...
And when it yeah. first started, right, wow. Trudeau was like, oh, this will last us till July, which was like 3 months away. I'm like, what does he know? Like, he's not a doctor or something.
It's going to be done in a month. It's yeah, fine.
That's what I thought. Yeah. I thought, okay,
I think
you know
that's
what
a lot of people...
Uh-huh. I think we could close down for 2 weeks. We'll be okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which turned into, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. Because I heard that you tried really hard to make sure that your staff were still employed. And
oh,
so-
man. I was, yeah, I was trying to keep them as employed as possible. So the way EI worked for some people is you have to work X amount of hours, and then we calculate this person doesn't have enough hours to go on EI.
Which is employment insurance just
oh,
for
yeah.
all those. Yep.
So I'm like, okay, I could lay off these people. They can collect. And for these people here, I'll figure out some kind of job so that they could get enough hours, and then we could lay them off. So
yeah.
I'm like, okay, wow. What can you do? You know what? Those fridges, they need to be dusted. I need you to like open them up, dust the coils, do something.
Oh,
right?
My gosh.
You know what? Yeah, we got to maintain those board games. I need you to sleep every single card in that library.
Oh. In. I'm in.
Because no. you like stuff like that. But can you imagine the chafing?
Oh,
yeah. Bad.
At the end of like, day two or something, we yeah. had to give our staff like a thimble because like the amount of time you're like like their nail is kind of like coming off
oh
their
my gosh
the dangers of board games, who knew.
Yeah.
Oh gosh. Well, so, we're so glad you survived.
Yeah,
your business
I'm so
survived.
Glad I survived.
And both your locations made it through.
Yeah, well,
did they?
Yeah so okay. Part of it was because I had like a third plan in play after the cafes. So I had some savings for like my next project, which is still hush hush.
Okay.
But because of COVID, I had to go through that. So
right.
I had to rebuild. But also the programs that the government kind of installed. My landlords were also like,
oh nice,
good to us. So it worked out. Good. But like, if I had to do it on my own, I don't think any business would have survived.
Yeah, yeah. Especially small right. businesses. That was just...
Especially small businesses that rely on people coming.
Yeah, in. Yeah.
And it's kind of like, the thing is, like I mentioned earlier when we started Calgary, like I was worried when we opened Calgary because like, you know, we have so much overhead. I kind of need this like engine to kind of keep going, right? But all of a sudden COVID happens and you know, you have this like Lamborghini of a business or whatever.
Yeah.
Right? So expensive to like maintain or whatever. You can't just like turn it off. You got to keep it going.
Yeah. Right. Oh, when did you open Calgary?
I think it was 3 years, 2 or 3 years after Edmonton.
So 2016, 2017
I think 2016.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Whew. Did it take you a while to build up a customer base?
It took a little bit, but it did come.
Do you mostly get repeat customers, like the same people coming in, or are you kind of always trying to find new?
You know, I would think that you would develop a base, but I still get tons of new people coming in every day. It's kind of cool.
Nice.
And again, I'm like, oh my God, these people are not my friends. They're strangers. Somehow they found out about me.
It's like 8 years later, you're still just bewildered that there are people coming in.
Yeah. Like I remember the first day in Edmonton or the first weekend, I took a picture of the cafe. I'm like, oh my God, we are full house. And then I took the same picture the next week. Like, oh my God, we're still full house.
That's amazing.
So that's like I think one of the best parts of having the cafe is.
Yeah.
When I first had the cafe, it was like just seeing the people come in.
Yeah. Okay. We may have covered some of these before through this conversation, but are there any myths you want to bust about owning and running a board game cafe?
Myths.
Or misconceptions that you want to kind of set straight?
It's not easy.
It's not my job is too stressful. I'll quit my day job and open up a cafe type of business.
Yeah, because as I mentioned before, I wasn't the first one in Calgary. I was the third one.
Right.
But the first two closed down already.
Okay. This is hard to open. Yeah. It's a tough business.
It's a tough business. And a lot of cafes will have like a lot of partners. And a lot of partners don't agree, and then they make critical mistakes, and then it's like, well, you should have listened to me kind of deal. I'm just lucky that I'm married to the builder. Get stuff done.
The job builder.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I think, yeah, it's not easy. Like, it may appear easy on the top, but it's a lot of moving parts too, right?
Right.
I feel like we've actually just busted lots of myths throughout our conversation. I think so. Right? Just around, yeah. Oh, I'm opening a board game cafe. I'm going to have so much time to play board games now that that's my business.
I will say, yeah, having chatted with Randy, he has cured me of my desire to open a board game cafe. Done. Never happened.
We'll just go to board game cafes from now.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, if you really enjoy like that bit of joy, like playing board games.
Don't quash it.
Don't
crush your dreams.
Just do everything you can to keep it special.
Okay, speaking of special,
yeah,
we've talked a lot about how hard it is to keep a business running and all the trials and tribulations. What's the best part?
Like, No. What's the toughest? Well,
toughest first.
Is there a toughest
Let's
first?
Let's do tough first. Okay,
what's the toughest first part of your job? If you something you've already said or something different.
You know, it's just evolving and then scaling with the business.
Mm.
So I think from year one to year five, you know, I ran it as like a mom pa shop. Like,
right.
I'll just put in all these hours. I'll get it done.
Mm-hmm.
We'll do okay. To, well, how do I expand this business so that I'm not the anchor point that needs to be there all the time? Because you're only like so young and you can't do it forever. Like, you'll die or something. So learning how to scale, because I think opening Edmonton was like a really good experience, but then figuring out how do I scale to Calgary? That took a lot of time, like figuring out. Like, I'm still learning stuff, now that, say, I'm a manager or worker or owner, whatever, like, how do I train? Oh, okay. So, sorry. I'll backtrack a little bit. So back in day one, you know, you just work yourself. And if you need a little bit of help, you just kind of hire those people. And then you do all that training.
Yeah.
But then eventually you can't be there all the time. So then you got to like train people to teach people how to train other people.
Right.
So eventually you scale up like, okay, how do I train a manager to be able to like oversee this, right? So it's weird, like just learning how to do and create all these systems,
right? Yeah.
So basically a game of food chain magnet then.
Yes.
Yeah.
You need that higher person card, and then the training, you got to go those two routes and balance it well.
Right. Okay, cool.
Yeah. But this is like real worker placement.
Which is much tougher and the stakes are much higher.
Yeah. I would, yes, they would be.
Right. Or like, you encountered this problem. What do you do the next time it happens? Or how can we prevent this problem from happening? It's a lot of like kind of discovery.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, in a board game, you make a mistake and it's like, okay, next game, I'll not make the same mistake, but this is life. And,
make the same mistake.
Yeah. It's not going to, it's not the end
Puerto Rico, right. I haven't figured it out. I'm still awful at that game.
I never get to fill the ships.
Same
I never get to fill the ships either. Apparently, corn's the way to go at the beginning of the game, but in my head, that's not the way
corn,
I do
it. It's so unintuitive.
Right?
Okay, but, well. Because I go straight for coffee, but then, like,
takes so long to build
takes
up.
So long that like you actually need to start on the crappy crops first and build your way up.
So Puerto Rico is now our metaphor for
opening cafes.
Yeah,
excellent.
Can I ask my question now?
Yeah, I suppose.
Okay. Anyways, we were talking about the trials and tribulations, all the tough parts, all the parts that make it really, really hard. What's the best thing? The thing that you're maybe the proudest of, that gives you the most joy of owning.
Or if there was like one single moment that really stands out.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of moments. I think more recently is because I'm not slinging coffee all the time. Like, I still sling a lot of coffee, but now I have time to do side projects. And the side projects are like cafe related. But like this Halloween, we're going to do like a mass like RPG night.
I'm so excited.
So we'll have like, hopefully we could get like 36 players. We have 6 DMs.
Wow.
They're all going to do a D&D adventure, but all the dungeons or the locations are kind of interconnected. So it's been a lot of planning.
Oh, that's and how to like incorporate. Amazing.
But this is very Stranger Things themed.
Oh my god, it's gonna be amazing. And when are you doing this?
It's Halloween, so October 31st. It's on a Monday.
Nice.
But like, it's gonna be so fun. Because I'm not just consumed by like working the cafe. Like, cool. I get to like think of like, what am I going to do for lighting?
Dreamer's
got a dream. But Dreamer's also has their mom help them like make the decorations.
Dreamers have mothers.
Yeah. And for me, when I think about opening a board game cafe, whenever we've talked about, oh, that's such a cool idea, that's the things we're thinking of. Like, oh, we can plan
the
that.
The creative part.
Maybe that's take, like 8 years,
it would probably take
after.
So long to get to that.
Oh, so it only took him 8 years.
Okay.
That's cool.
8 years. Yeah.
8 years of the grind.
So, that's like the cool thing. Like, you get to think of a project, kind of do it. Hopefully it works out, right? Like, you might have an idea. Might not work out, and it sucks because you dumped so much hours into it and like so much time. But fingers crossed, we'll see.
Knowing what you know today, if you could go back to young Randy, would you tell Randy to do it again?
Oh, yeah, I would tell Randy to do it again, but I also tell young Randy to, hey, you should research the stock market. While you are saving all that money to build a cafe, you should invest it in stocks while you're like waiting.
Fair, totally fair. Especially
that's a very good suggestion.
Yeah.
Just hopefully, you know, some huge economic downturn doesn't happen when you want to do it. But like right now,
Well, I think that's
financial literacy. Yeah.
Okay. I think
it's not just the dream. It's also the practical parts of building and how to build it in a smart way.
Yeah.
Dreams are free. The rest of it is not.
I like that. Yeah. I like that. Did you steal it from someone?
Probably.
So we could just wrap up with our third question that we meant to ask you.
Yes.
Okay. So our third question is, if you are stranded in a magical island and you're alone, all alone, this magical island, and you need to get off this island because within this magical island, there is this library of all the games you've ever played in your entire life.
Yeah.
And if you get to escape this island, you actually bring this whole library with you. However, there's nothing else that you can burn to create the smoke signal, which will ensure that you get rescued, which means you have to burn a game. So which game will you choose to burn?
As we've learned, riling them all on the fire.
Tons of games.
So you know how I explain, when I play games, it's all about the experience.
Yes,
you get, right?
Yes.
Have you guys ever played the Game of Thrones board game?
No. It's been on our list, but we have not.
We have wanted to.
So it could be a really good game, but I have a really bad experience.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I'm a person of many side stories. This happened at the Falcon convention.
Okay.
I'm learning how to play this game for the first time.
Oh.
And so you can sign up to these tables, kind of learn it with this group. So me and a bunch of new people are learning this game. I don't know what I'm doing half the time.
Yeah.
Playing against this one player who plays this all the time.
Oh, see?
That feels like a recipe for disaster.
Yeah. And they're not great at explaining. And they were going too hardcore for what this game needed. And so we're playing, kind of get the basic idea. And I'm like, oh man, there's nothing happening in this game. I'm getting so bored. I'm just going to attack this person just for the hell of it.
Yeah.
This person takes it personally for some reason. He's like,
what?
New players. Oh. I'm like, oh no. So he attacks me back. Cool. I lose like a bunch of troops or whatever. Uh-huh. But like, I don't know what's in his hand. He knows everything. He's punching out the probability. He's like, oh, let me look at your discard pile. Like, you got, okay, so you have this and this in your hand. I'm like, cool. So he decimates me, and I just don't know the game well enough to do a comeback or.
Yeah.
So I'm on lifeline, and I'm like, okay, it's been 15 minutes. I think I'm kind of done with this, but I don't want to be the person that kind of just gets up and leave and whatever.
Yeah,
so, you know, Kelly was also at that table. I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to attack Kelly, and if she kills me off, that's cool. I can leave this game. Because, like, I don't enjoy this person right beside me.
Oh, jeez.
But in Game of Thrones, you can support other people's armies.
Okay.
So here I am trying to do, like, a kamikaze attack into, like, Winterfell.
Yeah.
Trying to kill myself.
You have to kill yourself in the game to actually leave the game.
But this guy would not let me die.
The same guy that tried to attack
After he decimated you, he wouldn't let you.
Oh, come on.
I think he wants me to be, like, some kind of, like, buffer between him and Winterfell. And I'm like, just let me die, please.
That sounds like, horrible.
So I stuck around for like 2 or 3 hours. Game I didn't want to play anymore. So Game of Thrones.
Yeah, that died.
Boil the fire.
Yeah, that sounds like a
so really it could be a good game, but that is just a memory ingrained in my head.
Yeah, that sounds like a horrible experience.
Especially with, like, new players.
I'm annoyed for you. I hate when people... Yeah. I mean, when you're teaching a game, you're trying to introduce people to this game that you love. Why would you... Anyways.
Yeah.
That's annoying.
It was really weird.
Okay, so you already have that game.
Future podcast, maybe, on how to introduce your favorite game that you played 100 times to other people.
Yeah. You don't need to decimate them. What not to
do. Yes.
You're allowed to do backsies for new players.
Yeah.
I do backsies all the time.
Oh, yeah. For sure. Oh,
goodness. Or I'd be like... This would be a better idea.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. All right.
Okay.
I think that's it for today.
And any final thoughts?
Any final thoughts?
No, it's a really good interview. You two are amazing.
Yeah, you hear that? So for those of you...
Amazing.
We're amazing.
Amazing.
We did not just cut and paste that in.
Yeah.
I promise.
We'll just... That's a testimonial right there. Okay. There, so for those that... enjoy listening to us, or for those that don't, remember to go subscribe to us, write us a review, preferably give us 5 stars, especially if you don't like us, give us 5 stars too. You can find us on, we have a BGG Guild, Discord, also our Instagram is @C2Gansy.
Mm-hmm.
Did I miss anything?
Email, good old fashioned email.
Right. But I mean, just go look at the show notes and you can try and connect with
us. And we'll have links for Hexagon Cafe's website, mm-hmm, and everything there as well.
Oh, and the super epic game night in October 31st.
Yes, yes, yes.
I'm actually very sad that I'm not going to be in the city to play.
Is that Edmonton and Calgary or just Edmonton?
Just Edmonton.
Okay, so any local Edmonton peeps, Hexagon Cafe.
It might go to Calgary, but this is like the first time we're running this kind of project.
Okay.
So okay. It's like a stay tuned.
Pilot.
Excellent.
Okay. But until then, stay Gansy.
And happy gaming.